The Ramban seems to say that amigu, that you could have made a claim on something else, doesn't work to help you with the claim you're making on the object you're making it on. You can't say, since I could have requested, I could have demanded and claimed your coat, so believe me more strongly on your boots. That's what the Ramban says here in the middle. Now the question is, how do you understand, you know, this whole big picture of what the Ramban is speaking about? And here there's a difference between, you know, the different generations of Chachmei Sfard. You have the Rashba and the Ritva Yashon versus the Nemuki Yosef and the Chiddush Yaran. A lot of similarities between the Nemuki Yosef and Chiddush Yaran in Bava Metzia, as we'll see. Let's begin with the Rashba and the Ritva. We'll come back to the Chiddush Yaran in a moment. Let's begin with the Ritva at the very bottom, because the Ritva formulates it the most clearly. He says, Hai de odile harehu ki'ilu muchlok v'omed v'nimtza shein cholkin ela alachetzia. The Rashba uses the same formulation as well. And basically what they seem to understand is, we don't say amigu in principle, okay? We don't say amigu that you could have made a claim on other money. We don't say with the Achronim call me mamon le mamon. By the way, the Mordechai quotes this idea in the name of Rabbi Nutam as well. Now, should this be me mamon le mamon? I mean, it's the same talis, no? Why do the Rashba and the Ritva assume that it's me mamon le mamon, no? Because they see, right? They see the part that's agreed on as already divided up. This is very understandable, the shitaso of the Rashba that we saw in the other sugya, that we see each one kimuchzak b'chetzi b'kiilu nechlak nami. Now here it's different, right? We don't say chetzi chetzi because they all agree on the chetzi. This could be why it would be true here, even according to the Ramban. The Ramban, if you remember in the last sugya, said we see both of them as muchzak on the whole thing. Here, why might he agree that we see only one of them as muchzak on the chetzi? Because here everyone agrees that chetzi is only of one of theirs. This gets back to, again, how the Tanos can impact how we look at the Tfisa. Now, which of the Rishonim that we saw in the last sugya would you expect to disagree with this? One of them is the Chiddush Yaran. And we already saw the Chiddush Yaran again in this sugya about Migul HaHotzi, because they're both muchzak on the whole thing. After having seen the Chiddush Yaran here, that they're both muchzak on the whole thing, even in this case. Even in this case where one says Kula Shali and one says Chetzi Shali, it's understandable that the Ran did not explain this answer of the Ramban, what I would say is Kipshuto, of Mamon la Mamon. And how did he explain it? He explains all the ideas of the Ramban as one long continuum. All about whether the Migu can work because does it take more chutzpah, more ha'aza, to make the alternative claim. The Ran says, right, he starts in the beginning, and then he talks about the second part of the Ramban. Now, how does he explain it? It's all about ha'aza. There isn't this principle that you don't say migu mi mamon la mamon. That I think is the pashup shot in the Ramban. It's the pashup shot in the Ramban that the Rashba and Ritva carried forward because they understood that it really is mi mamon la mamon here. But because the Chiddush Yaran, and assumably the Muki Yosef, who writes very similar wording, see both of them as muchzak on the whole thing, even in a situation where they both agree that half belongs to the other, one of them, since they're both muchzak on the same thing, and that's why it's migu lahotzi in the first part of the sugya we saw yesterday, that's also why we can't give the explanation of it being me mamon le mamon, which is pashup shat in the Ramban. Do you want to turn on sticky keys? I don't want to turn on sticky keys, but it seems my Gemara that was leaning on my computer wants to turn on the sticky keys, but I'm not turning on the sticky keys. Okay. Any questions about this first point? The second part of Shir is already moving on to the next part of the sugya. Okay. We're going to start talking about something we're going to begin talking about today and continue talking about tomorrow, finish tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, which is about understanding the principles of Migul HaHotzi. And as we saw in our sugya, there are two answers given here. One is the problem is Migul HaHotzi, and the other is this Ramban thing, right, that the different Chachmei Sfard explain in different ways. But let's start now, Ot Bet, Migul HaHotzi. Now, the source for this, of course, is the sugya in Baba Basra, Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis, which I'm sure everyone saw. The machlokas between Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. The first very interesting thing about that sugya is that Rabbah doesn't use the term migu. What term does he use? What term does Rabbah use?
Ibai Amar.
Mali l'shaker, right? The Ibai Amar elaborates on Mali l'shaker. The reason I focus on the term Mali l'shaker is because it's a term that's used in a number of sugyas and shas. And you obviously wonder why the Gemara uses different terms to refer to migu. There's a third term that the Gemara sometimes uses to refer to things that sound like migu. Anyone knows what that third term is? Anyone?
Pashas or Pasheter?
Well, Armeshiv, Shkoach Eitan. Pashas or Pashahiter. So you wonder why there are different terms and to what extent they're indicative of different types of migus. So this is number one that took it. The second part that's interesting in that sugya is the final psak of Ravidi Baravin, who of course distinguishes between Ara and Zuzi. So there's three opinions there, Rabbah, Rav Yosef, and Ravidi Baravin. And this is important because the question is, even though all the Rishonim agree that somebody in that sugya is saying that we don't say migu lahotzi, the question is who's saying it. And here we have different opinions amongst the Balei HaTosfos as to who in that sugya says migu lahotzi lo omrina. And of course, there's Tosas in Baba Basra and Tosas in Baba Metzia. Let's start with the Tosas there on that sugya in Baba Basra. And there are two Divrei HaMaschil. The first is Amai and the second one is Vehilchasa. Let's start with Amai. Divrei HaMaschil Amai, Tosas is quoting who? Who is Tosas quoting there? The Rebar Mordechai. And the reason I emphasize this is because we might be quick, especially in a sugya like this, where in our sugya we quote the Rivam, to assume the Rebar Mordechai is the same person as the Rivam, and they're not. That's important to understand. The Rebar Mordechai was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva. He was the Rebbe of the Or Zeruah. And he's always quoted by Tosfos with his full name, Rebar Mordechai, and not the Rivam. It's different. Okay? Just for our own... Okay. What's his kasha? Let's take a look. His kasha is... This is a strange kasha. Does anyone want to explain why it's a strange kasha? Kazla, you want to hear a good story? Schwartz, you want to hear a good story? Englander, you want to hear a good story? Why am I asking Kazla, Schwartz, and Englander if they want to hear a good story? Because it took place in DRS. Many years ago, I was interviewing in DRS. They were learning Cheskes Sabbatim. And you guys know the way it is in DRS. Even the guys who didn't go to DRS know the way it is in DRS, right? So one of the, you know, the seniors there, big Talmidei Chachamim and, you know, starker guy, you know, maybe he heard from some of the guys I was interviewing that maybe Ray Targan knows how to learn a little bit. So he decided he was going to come over and, you know, and slug me up and whatever. So he came up to me on this sugya. And I asked him basically this question. I told him, basically, Rabbi says there's a migu, right? Rav Yosef says there is an amigo. So Tosas is asking why Rav Yosef disagrees with Rabbah, meaning he's asking what's pshat in the machlokas. So ask, ma tamid Rav Yosef. Tosas makes it like he has some kasha on Rav Yosef. Right? He has some kasha on Rav Yosef. Is that the kasha? That's the whole machlokas. Rav Yosef seems not to say amigo. So what's pshat? It doesn't seem like he's asking why does Rav Yosef disagree with Rabbah. Another interesting thing about the kasha is that he asks, why doesn't Rav Yosef say migu? Based on the language of the Gemara here, if he was asking why Rav Yosef disagrees with Rabbah, he should have said, why does Rav Yosef not use Shlomo Mali l'shaker? Why does he use a different terminology? The plot thickens. We'll get back to this in Mitzvah tomorrow, but people should think about this. In any case, his answer here is, the reason Rav Yosef doesn't say migu is the lo amrina migu lahotzi. Or in other words, if you ask the Rebar Mordechai, who holds that we don't say migu lahotzi? He would assumably answer, Rabbi Yosef, right? At least push up shot. The Re, okay, not to be confused with the Revam or the Rebar Mordechai, the Re asks a mega kashon, Feinur la Re, midala mefarish tamah hachi behedja. Mashma dalav mishum hachi. The Gemara doesn't give this explanation for Rabbi Yosef, so it seems that's not his explanation. And the truth is, we could ask another kasha here. if Rabba and Rav Yosef are really disagreeing with the question of Migu Lahotzi, then there's a kasha on Rabba from our Mishnah in Baba Metzia, according to the Balei Tosfos. Our Mishnah is a proof that we don't say Migu Lahotzi. Why is our Mishnah not brought in as a kasha on Rabba? So these were all kashas on the Rivam, according to the simplistic understanding of the Rivam. Tomorrow, may the Shem will see a deeper one. But in any case, that's this Tosfos. This Tosfos says, if Yosef holds, Migu Lahotzi Lomina. Tosfos, Divrei Maschav Hilchasa, relates to the Psak of Rav Yehudi Barav. And the question is, how do we explain it? Rashbam explains we have a suffix, so we go Amotzi Mechavah Olav Araya. Tosfos finds this very problematic. I assume people saw the Tosfos, and therefore quotes the Ri, who says that Rav Yehudi Barava, Rav and Psak, is based on not saying Migu Lahotzi, on saying Migu only Lukmi, as we talked about yesterday by the Tosfos Ri, Lahotzi versus Lukmi, right? It makes sense, by the way, that the Ri would explain Rav Yehudi Barava as being about Migu Lahotzi, because he disagrees with the Rivam's explanation of Rav Yosef. And you can't say that both Rav Yosef and Rav Yehudi Barav are both rooted on Migu Lahotzi, and they're saying, you could say, they have in Machlokes how to apply the concept of Migu Lahotzi, but it's very understandable that the Re explains Rav Yehudi Barav this way because he doesn't explain Rav Yosef that way. And this is an important point, right? Which one of the Amoraim there is holding, right, that we don't say Migu Lahotzi? And of course, the assumption of the Ri is that someone standing in the karka is the muchzik, while the person with the zuzi is the muchzik, and okay. Now we get to Tosfos in our sugya. Tosfos in our sugya, who's quoting the Rivam, Rav Yitzchak ben Meir. He was the brother of the Rashbam, Rabbi Nutam. Okay. He says, there's a generally accepted principle. It's not Rabbi Yosef. It's not Rav Yehudi Barav, he says it's done, right? It's accepted. We don't say Migu Lahotzi. In fact, he explains that Rabba and Rav Yosef aren't really debating the question of Migu Lahotzi. He says the debate between Rabba and Rav Yosef is because the Migu there is better and worse than a regular Migu. Meaning Rabba says we use the Migu there because it's better than a regular Migu. So you can't say Migu Lahotzi. Rav Yosef says, you don't use the migu there because it's worse than a regular migu. Why is the migu there better than a regular migu? Meaning, according to Rabba, anyone?
Because he could have been silent.
Because he could have been silent, right? Where do you see that Rabba is building off this? That's something different than a regular migu. And maybe better, Shlomo knew.
Because he said,
Mali Lashaka. Yeah. He didn't need to say anything. Why should he open up his mouth and lie? Right? He could have just been quiet. Now the question is, so why does that kind of migu work? It's still a hotzi, no? So you could say that the fact that he could have won without opening his mouth means it's not lahotzi, even though the other guy is holding the money, but you really have the inside track. The other approach is to say it is lahotzi, but this is a stronger migu. It is lahotzi, but it's a stronger migu. This obviously, is important in how we understand migu lahotzi, because if it works sometimes, you see that even a migu lahotzi is a migu, it just may not be generally strong enough lahotzi, even sometimes it would be strong enough lahotzi, but the assumption that migu lahotzi would sometimes work shows you that migu lahotzi in principle is a migu. Tosfos then continues and speaks about Rav Yosef, who holds that the migu there is worse. Why? Because you already lied, right? Now this is understandable if the whole purpose of migu is to strengthen one's ne'amanus. It's hard to strengthen ne'amanus if you've already lied. Okay. Any questions, first of all, about the Balei Tosfos and their different explanations of who, what is the source? Who is the one who says Migu Lahotzi Lo Amrina? The next thing we want to discuss, and we'll see how important what we just discussed is for the next part tomorrow, right, but we started with the source, we'll talk about the basis, and we'll see tomorrow that it could be the different Balei Tosfos who hold that different Amoraim are the ones who say Migu Lahotzi could be debating, what the basis of Migu Lahotzi is. But, the key question is, why do we not say Migu Lahotzi? Why do we not say Migu Lahotzi? So let's in fact start with the one who says we do, and then ask why people disagree with him. The Rashba has a tshuva where the Shoel of Yosef Kashrish says, Lama amru migu lafukim amono lo amru. Why do we say that? Ma ro lo amru ken. V'amigu de'araisahu. V'hadat no tenet de'kushtahu. The kamar makes sense if he's telling the truth. The ilu ratzel the shaker hayomed b'tanasar harishona. The yomer shtara ma'al yehu ma'ali lafuki ma'ali lekumi. What's he saying here? Why shouldn't we say migu lahotzi? The whole idea of migu is that the fact that I had an alternative claim supports the claim I am making, right? So what difference does it make if it's lahotzi? So now the question is, so why are there those who say migu doesn't work lahotzi? So there's two approaches we can go in. The first is the approach that sounds like the Rashba is taking. Tshuva. B'ikar adin, yamrina ba'ma migu lafukim ma'on olo, nechliku bo kol gdole amorim. V'nira ikar divrei ha'omer da'afilu lafuki amrinan. V'savar ani, she'amadeti al divrei elu ve'elu v'yal ra'yoteim. Avo miderach ha'svara, hari roi yoser lomar. Dilafuke mamish lo aminan. Interesting phrase. Dilafuke mamish lo aminan. Sheino min adin shenotzi mamon mizebetana. O mitnei sheyachol liton mashu utan. V'dayim nomer kein lahamid. The Rashba sounds like is, you're right, there is a migu, but it's not a strong enough raya to be motzi. And he's talking here about motzi mechaber olav raya, right? Is migu strong? You know, migu is a taina. It's a taina, but it's a taina that's strong enough to help you protect your money, not strong enough to be motzi money. In principle, the Rashba seems to accept that migu is shayach in a case of lahotzi. It's just not strong enough. It's just not strong enough. The other approach is to say something much sharper. Migu isn't shayach when you want to be motzi mamon. Why? So here we're going to reference the famous chakira of the Kovetz Shurim Rav Chanan Wasserman, which is an idea that we find in many, we've shown many places. Rav Chanan just formulated it as a chakira. He says, migu can be understood in one of two ways. The first is the way people generally understand it, right? Anan Sadi, the fact that you could have won some other way and you went this way shows that assumably you were telling the truth. The second point he says is it's not mitam anan Sadi, it's a din ne'amanus b'koach ha'ne'amanus. Another phrase that's used by many achronim is koach hataina. Koach hataina. And the obvious question is, what does that mean? Din ne'amanus, koach hataina. And I think the explanation could be along the following lines. Many explain it this way. If we want to look at how strong of a hold you have on something, okay? So I have this cup, right? I'll tell you guys a story. When I was Shana Aleph in Yeshiva, we were learning Gittin, okay? There's a Tosos in the bottom of Gittin Beis and Aleph that's about Migu. So I remember my Rebbe that year was Rav Blachman, and he was sick the first part of his man. It can happen. And he wasn't there. First day he comes in, I'm sitting there learning, comes over to me, comes over from behind, picks me up by the ear, literally and physically, lifts me up by the ear. Hello, little boy. Right? He says, tell me, what's shot in this Tosos? You know. So I knew the Kasha, the Teres, Rav Chanan, and I said, oh, it's Migu, it's in Namanis, Koach HaTaina. What does it mean, Koach HaTaina? What does it mean in English? Of course, I didn't know how to explain it, you know, right? He said like this, you have this cup, right? How strong is my hold on this cup? Not strong at all, right? Okay. Now, if I have one taina I can make, my hold is a little stronger. The more tainas I have to protect what I own, right, what I'm machzik, the stronger my hold on this is. Says, that could be the pshat in Rav Chanan. Thank you, Jacob. That could be the pshat in Rav Chanan. That when I could win with an alternative claim, my hold on the object is stronger. And I'll give you an example of where we see this concept using the word migu. In Eruv and Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, it talks there about how you make allowed to make an Eruv of different homes who are coming together, and they symbolically show the connection by, you know, people contributing food together. So it says that you're allowed to use demai. Now, the problem with demai is that only poor people can eat demai. Demai halo chazila. So the Gemara says, like it says in many places, migu diiboy mafkelu lenachase. Since I could have been mafkir my nechasim, and then I'd be able to eat the demai, So it's chazi for me now as well. The fact that I could get to it in some way gives me a hold on it already now. This is another way of explaining why migu lahotzi lo amrina. It's not because the raya isn't strong enough. It's because the migu isn't shayach to a situation where I'm not holding on to it, where it's in the hands of somebody else. This is how Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, the great Panavizh Rosh Hashiva, explained the chilik that we saw yesterday in the Trumas Hadash. He said, Rov is not strong enough to beat Cheskes Mammon. Okay? Rov is not strong enough to beat Cheskes Mammon. When both of them are tofes together, neither of them has Cheskes Mammon. Okay. The problem with Migu is not that it's not strong enough. It's that it's not shayach when you're motzi. And when both of them are muchzak together, you're a motzi. Again, rov would work. Rov would work because the cheskes mammon here isn't strong enough because you're being machzik together, but there's still a hotza'ah. And therefore, migu doesn't work. Okay. This is basically what we wanted to do today. Let me talk a little bit about what we're going to do tomorrow. Number one, we're going to talk about the nafkaminas of how you understand the problem of migu lahotzi. We'll talk about different dinim of migu lahotzi. Number one, does it work bitsiruf with other rayos? So again, if the issue is it's not strong enough, if you throw in another raya, it might be strong enough. If the issue is it's not shayach, well, it's not shayach, right? Would the problem of migu lahotzi be lahotzi or lahachzik? A question we've already discussed. The issue of mimamon lamamon that we put on the table today. So that's number one. We're going to talk about the nafkaminas, the different ways of understanding migu lahotzi, the problem of migu lahotzi. The second thing we're going to talk about is the possibility that maybe there are two reasons there's a problem of migu lahotzi. There are two tracks. We'll talk about shvua versus mamon, meaning using a migu lahotzi to erase the need for a shvua or to win mamon. And then number two, the fact that there might be two different types of migu that have two different problems of migu lahotzi. So this tomorrow is where things get a little bit interesting, right? A little more complex. And Amir Tashem will finish this sugya this week. And next week we'll start the next sugya. How's everybody doing?